Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are on the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, one of the reasons that I felt like the Jets had a really good draft, of course, you picked twice in the first round. You're like, you're going to have a good draft. But whatever, you're supposed to have a good draft and you pick twice in the first round. But when you pick up Breece Hall in the second round, then you're like, okay, this is a real good draft. New York Jets running back Breece Hall is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how did it feel scoring what ended up being the game-winning touchdown?
Yeah, it was kind of a deal. Like, it was, I had mixed emotions about it. I felt like the ref, he should have called me. He should have called the touchdown earlier because I had reached the ball across. And if you watch the film, I had already been signaling touchdown after everybody had got up from the little scuffle, trying to say I fumbled and everything like that. But yeah, it was a punch play, and a linebacker came through free. I just made a miss and put the ball across, and I knew it was a touchdown from there.
Breece, were you spooked, though, when that ball came out? Did you think, like, dang, man, damn, I don't think I made it?
No, not really, because our tight end, Tyler Conklin, he came and picked it up and literally put the ball over the line right after that. So I was like, either way, we're going to have a touchdown. So it was just like, if I didn't score, then I know for sure he did. So I was pretty confident the whole time.
Breece, Key and I, both being athletes and being around athletics our whole lives, We know how difficult it is to come back after injury, right? Especially when there's significant time off. What were your thoughts on Zach Wilson and his performance coming back after suffering that injury?
Zach is Zach. You know, he always is going to be looking to make those big plays, and it was cool just to see him getting back and playing how I know he does. He's getting out of sacks and breaking tackles, and you know, running the ball if the pass isn't there and everything like that. Obviously he was going to be a little rusty. It's his first game back and he hasn't been seeing a whole bunch. So, we just really had to, as an offense, we really had to take another step up, just to help him out more. And I feel like as running backs, we prided ourselves on that as well as kind of just being a human eraser for him. If he might not know where he wants to go with the ball, you know, he could throw us a check down and we're going to get yards with it and just that type of thing. And, also give him the confidence to hand us off the ball. For him to know that we're going to get yards with that. So for him, his first game back, I felt like he played great.
Breece, you're talking to Breece Hall, running back for the New York Jets, of course, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Breece, your head coach, Robert Saleh, came under scrutiny by the media, right, and fans, and was roundly mocked on this show for saying that he's taking receipts. What's it like publicly to the press? He said this, taking receipts. You guys are taking receipts. What is it like playing for Robert Saleh?
Honestly, he reminds me a lot of my coach, Matt Campbell from Iowa State. You know, he's a big culture guy, and he's the type, if you're not going to buy into what we're doing, then we don't need you here. So, and I feel like the philosophy that he has, it's definitely working for our team. You know, he always says that. No matter how hard you're going, you always have 60% more. And at the end of the game, that 60% more always comes back into play. So I feel like Coach Saleh, you know, he's one of the hardest working coaches, and he expects the most out of us just like we expect the most out of him. So playing with him, you know, it's hand-in-hand because, you know, we're trying to do our best, and he's trying to do his best for us.
Breece Hall, New York Jets running back, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Breece, make sure you tell Coach Saleh I do not do exchanges or receipts or anything like that. There's no exchange policy. He buy, he keeps. So if he's looking for me down the line when y'all start to win, let him know I've shut down shop. No, all seriousness, though. How you, as a rookie, I played in New York, obviously. He was drafted by the Jets. How is it playing in New York, dealing with the New York media and the nonsense at times as a rookie?
Honestly, I've kind of just been embracing it, you know, being at Iowa State, I was kind of the face of the program. So I was kind of dealing with the mini New York, you know, I was in a college town where there's only two football teams. There's Iowa and Iowa State, and the fans only care about those two football teams. So it's kind of the same thing. But in New York, it's a bigger city, and obviously people are going to know who you are and everything. But you kind of have a little bit more privacy because there's a lot more stuff going on. But so far, it's been fun, man, just embracing it, you know. If you're doing good, they're going to let you know. But if you're doing bad, they're also going to let you know even more. So you got to take the good with the bad and just remember who you are and remain faithful. And I think that'll carry you a long way.
This is a typical Keyshawn Johnson question, third person, obviously. For you personally, what's a successful season? And then secondly, for the team, what's a successful season?
For me, just right now, I'm just trying to come in and really just find my role in the offense. And I feel like every week I've been getting better, and it showed on film. Obviously, it would be cool. You know, I want to win Rookie of the Year and do all those great things like that. But I feel like if we do what we have to do as a team, then all the individual stuff will take care of itself. And as a team, we're just trying to get better week in and week out. We're not looking at the end of the season right now. We're just like last week, we were worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers. This week, we're worried about the Miami Dolphins. So it's just taking it a week at a time and not looking forward too much.
Brees, what is it like spending time with Garrett Wilson? Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of chatter and talk about him and his capabilities. I'm just curious from the inside out, what is that relationship like?
Yeah, Garrett's a character, man. He's a really unique person. I've known him since high school, so just being around him after we got drafted and everything, we've gotten real close. We have a really good relationship. You know, we're always goofing around and joking. And, you know, Garrett, he's a real big fashion guy, so I'll always be messing with him, calling him bougie and everything like that, because he always has the cool clothes on and the cool fits and everything like that. So just being around him, he's a real good person. And, you know, he always finds a way to make you laugh, make you smile. So he's real cool to be around.
This is Breece Hall, ladies and gentlemen, New York Jets running back. Brees, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Yep.
Appreciate
it. Go get it, buddy. Keep balling.
Hey, Brees. Hey, Brees. Hey, Brees.
Yeah.
Good interview. But when we say hello and goodbye, you're giving me very monotone, flat answers. When I say hello, you go, hey, what's up, guys? You know what I mean? What's going on? Okay, let's try it again. All right, Brees, great talking to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
There you go.
He's probably got a PR guy standing over his shoulder.
He's got to get coached up on the meat a little bit. It's good. By the way, quick study, right? Immediately, he got it right. The next
yeah.
You know how they do you, Max.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Brees.
You're going on that KJM show with that Max Kellerman. Be careful.
He's a slick one.
He thinks Belichick's the 10th best coach in NFL history.
And he's a Giants fan.
Actually, when push comes to shove, I'll still put Belichick number one. Jay put it to me, and I would still have him number one. But I think it is in dispute. I think it is close and in dispute.
But he's still your number one.
Yep.
Okay.
Listen, you ruined my whole routine with that. Thanks a lot.
I'm just asking.
Thanks a lot. You put it to me and ruined the whole contrary thing. Hey, guys. What is the Jets' potential with a healthy Zach Wilson back? I mean, obviously, they could finish ahead of the Patriots. What are the Patriots at, right? Bill Belichick's great Patriot. Seriously, what's their potential?
I think they're sitting in the 3-4 spot, 4-3, somewhere in there. I don't think they're better than Miami. Obviously, the Bills are a better football team, but I love what Joe Douglas has done in terms of assembling talent. When you look at Elijah Vera Tucker moving to the tackle spot, originally was a guard, but when he can slide outside and protect and do some of those things, you look at that. You look at Garrett Wilson. And Zach Wilson at the quarterback spot, I'm going to be honest with you, he did not look bad at all. He looked, you know, comparable. He looked okay. Let's continue to see him develop over the next several weeks, and maybe there's something that's there. I always have reservation based on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers aren't a very good football team right now. And when you go in there, win's a win, no question about it. But I want to continue to see them play the Dolphins and the Packers and the Broncos and the Patriots and the Bills and the Patriots again before I really say what it is that I think about the Jets team.
Here's what I will say about the Jets being 2-2 right now. And this has been something that I've learned and I paid attention to in sports my whole life. Bad teams find ways to lose games a lot. They found ways to win games. Granted, smaller sample size. I mean, we can sit here and talk all day about the names like Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Breece Hall, and Michael Carter, and Zach Wilson, the names, the talent that they actually have. But, and that's where I go back to that whole comment, kind of fighting back on both you guys about Robert Saleh and receipts. Because you can have talent, but there needs to be a collective mindset. And that collective mindset needs to play with some kind of venom. It does feel like they're playing for something. And that's more to be said about Jets teams in the past to me.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. That's not a very high bar to clear, but it is true.
But the bar has been low.
It is.
You got to keep scraping and clawing to keep fighting up, though.
You have as much draft capital as the Jets have had in recent years, though. It's like when Key is talking about, well, Gettleman laid the foundation. No, he didn't. He drafted up high every single year. You have to be, even by accident, a terrible GM is going to hit some picks if you're drafting in the top 10, top five every single year for 5-6 years. You know what I mean? And so the Jets have put together, it's not like they haven't put together some nice drafts. In fact, I think they've been unlucky in the drafts. I think Becton, like if he doesn't get hurt, we're thinking differently about this team because the offensive line is that much better. Then Zach Wilson gets hurt. So they've been slightly unlucky. But of course they got to have some talent, Key. They drafted the top of the draft every year.
Yeah, but all the talent at the top of the draft, we just spoke to a young man in Breece Hall. He's not at the top of the draft. I mean, he's a top 100 player, which in the NFL, if you're a top 100 player, it's top talent. But it doesn't matter. People miss all the time. Your Giants, remember Cedric Jones? Remember who that was? Mm-hmm. What pick was he? He was fifth. How did that work out, right?
So how about Daniel Jones? He was sixth.
It doesn't – well, Daniel Jones, the story's not told completely yet. It's not complete. But it doesn't mean anything. You still have to identify players in the first round. You know how many general managers draft high and get fired because they don't know what the hell they're doing?
Yeah, like
you see
Dave
the two
Gettleman.
Look at Mike Mayock and what John Gruden did with the Raiders.
Oh,
now, one
God.
Of those guys is on that team right now, except Josh Jacobs. Come
it's
on,
one
man.
Thing to exactly, say they don't Key. Get to a second contract. Jay, in Vegas, they didn't get to a second year. They're getting drafted in the top 10. They don't get to the second year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Leatherwood.
Leatherwood.
So people get it wrong all the time.
So if the Jets have only posted a 7-win season once over the last 6 years, they legitimately could do that this year. Mm-hmm. Like you're trending in the right direction.
You are.
Yeah, and Joe Douglas wasn't there for those other
exactly,
6 years
Key.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, so I'm happy for him. I just need to see a little bit more. That's all.
What do you need to – real quick before we move on. Zach Wilson. They drafted him second overall because he seemed to have real arm talent and super high upside. When you draft second – this is like when the Giants even took Daniel Jones sixth. He might be a nice quarterback. I like what he's done so far this year. If you're drafting someone sixth, I want a Hall of Famer. I want a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to hear it. That ain't Daniel Jones. What about Zach Wilson? You draft him second overall. He's supposed to be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Stay healthy, man, if I can evaluate you. I can't evaluate you. You can't help the club in the tub. I can't stay out the tub. The ice tub that is, Max.
Unless you're in the tub club.
I need you to follow me here, Max. The ice tub. That's all I'm talking about.
I know. Look,
Max's brain.
Let's stay in the AFC.
Does he have
one? More about quarterbacks. It's such a brain. Such a brain. How much are the Patriots losing? You said, hey, Brian Hoyer, Mac Jones, same thing at this point in their careers. With Bailey Zappe at quarterback compared to Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer. First, let's listen to Zappe, the Patriots' third-string quarterback, at the post-game presser.
It's obviously not the outcome we wanted at all. You know, I just want to first, like, give credit to all my teammates. They kept me calm. They kept me, you know, getting the nerves out of me. You know, they kept me in my space and cool, calm, and collected. And, you know, everybody played well tonight. O-line played well. We ran the ball well. You know, it really just comes down to me. I just got to make more plays, and the outcome's differently.
How much are they losing with Bailey Zappe, do you think?
You know, it's interesting because clearly they drafted Mac Jones, and Mac Jones took him to the playoffs. So automatically, you know, 70% completion percentage, he went to the Pro Bowl, whatever that means. And people are like, oh, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. This year, Mac Jones hadn't played great football. Now, is that a combination of the offensive coordinators that they got to figure out who's calling plays, who's doing what, or is it Mac Jones' ability? Now, he's not playing right now because he's hurt. Then when you move to Brian Hoyer, a veteran player who, you know, has been in this league a very long time, based on the way Mac Jones is playing this year, I would think a healthy Hoyer can play the same way. Not very good. And then when you go to Bailey Zappi,
right? Once you set the standard, if he's not that good, what's the difference? Right.
Yeah. And so when you go to Bailey Zappi and you look what he was able to do, 10 of 15, 99 yards and a touchdown, and took Aaron Rodgers into an overtime, you sit there and they all look the same, right? They got the same frame. They kind of got this methodical, long release. They just look the same. You say to yourself, you go, in this system, what it is that they want to do with Mac Jones, I think they can do this with Bailey Zappi. And if they do this with him, based on this year, it'll probably look the same.
There is something when a new shiny object is found, right? Now we talk about squirrel sometimes for you, Max.
Yes.
For me, like just
seeing, why is there one here?
Zappi.
Oh.
He's that squirrel. Like it just because the way it looks, and all of a sudden we always talk about narratives, right? Like now the narrative is, you were in a dogfight with Aaron Rodgers. Like, so what else is it going to look like with the tutelage of Bill Belichick? Like, is there more upside? I'm not saying it's going to actually it's going to lean in that direction, but those conversations do start because of the way it looked.
He is arguably the best coach in the division. It's true. I'm just saying they're pretty good up in Buffalo. That's all I'm saying.
You can't help yourself.
I can't. Could we have a situation developing in New England? A situation developing where there's, I'm not saying in Dallas there's actually a debate. It's really only me saying, hey, maybe they should stay with Cooper Rush, until they lose a single game. But given the fact that Mac Jones has not set the bar very high, particularly this year, he has not built upon an impressive rookie season, I would say, Key. Yes, he was in the right situation. They put him, didn't have him do anything he couldn't do, but he did all the things he was supposed to do. He did everything you ask. He drove to the stadium. He didn't get lost. Like all those things you say a first-year player is supposed to do. Mac Jones did that, and then a little bit more than that because he actually played pretty well. But given the fact how he looked this year so far, Bailey Zappi have a potential here to be like, oh, wait a minute, who's the quarterback for this team?
It's hard, right? You talk about where they drafted Mac Jones, what he was able to do last year. It's almost like Zach Wilson. Mike White came out and lit up Cincinnati, who went to the Super Bowl a year ago. Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen the guy since, right? I mean, it's like, it's like, where is he at? Now you look at Bailey Zappi. I'm going to call him the Z-Man. We look at the Z-Man, and he did good. He had some nice throws. He looked like a quarterback. If they got off to a start and a run and they just start rolling until Mac Jones came back, because Belichick has shown not only with the quarterback position, but with other positions to stay with the hot hand. The most famous, obviously, is Drew Bledsoe versus Tom Brady, when Drew Bledsoe was essentially traded to the Buffalo Bills. I wouldn't put it past Bill. If you start winning and they start rolling with the Z-Man, I wouldn't put it – Bill's done it before.
That's what I'm saying. Mac Jones –
and it's not a lot of money tied up in Mac Jones based on where he was drafted
just
at.
Just a pretty good high draft pick, but that's not the same thing.
Mac Jones didn't lose his job yet, but, man, he made it clear that there's an option for Bill Belichick.
Now,
that's a conversation to me. Just like knowing that, I got this person on the sideline.
He's got to win – six
if
games.
Bailey Zappi starts putting these teams to sleep, the Z-Man starts putting these teams to
sleep. The Z-Man.
The Z-Man, he starts putting some teams to sleep. The Z-Man, no? No? All right.
That's what I call my son, Z-Man.
I got to call him the Z-Man because every time I think of Zappi, I think of Giuseppe, the shoes. There's a shoes called the Giuseppes or something like that.
Zappi, I think it was getting zapped.
Just calling him Zap.
He could blow up and do like one of those mosquito zapper ads, something local in the summertime.
Who was that had a few games that was doing well in Carolina and they wanted to get their name patent and all this crazy stuff? Who was that?
Well, no. First of all, there was Gardner Minshew, right?
He was a starter.
You're talking about Carolina Rivera there when he came in for Cam.
It was a quarterback. You know what I'm talking about, Max.
Staff.
I can't even
someone
think
on our
name.
Staff come up with a name.
And I don't even think he's in the league now.
but it was like, is he better than Cam Newton?
He won like five games in a row or something.
See, that's what I mean, though. If the backup dude Key, even if it's not sustainable, I'm not messing with a winning formula, period.
You got a chance to get the next three, though. Play
the
Lions at home, at the Browns, and the Bears, and then at Jets.
Yeah. This is different than Dallas. More closer, similar to the Brady Bledsoe situation. Because, again, Mac Jones is not on a historical $150 million deal.
So it's a little bit different.
That was Kyle Allen, right? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the name. I just remember when he got off to a hot start, he wanted to get certain things patented and
Shannon just
everything.
Got my ear. Yeah.
And then it went, shoo. So the Z-Man got an opportunity and a chance as long as Mac Jones is trying to get his ankle together.
The Z-Man.
Or whatever it is.
The Z-Man. What message was Aaron Rodgers sending when he said the Packers' style of winning was not sustainable? To whom was he sending this message?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
In the end, you know, Rodgers is just too good.
Offensively, they could run the football. They certainly could throw it.
This is the game we had to win. Can't be 2-2, losing to a third-string quarterback.
Mark these words, October 3rd. This offense is going to be better by the end of the season than with Davante Adams.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, ESPNU, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speaker. And, of course, you get us on the app. We are joined now, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and joined now by Donald Driver, former Packers wide receiver, and, of course, Super Bowl champion. Good morning.
The Slim Reaper!
What's up, D? How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up, J-Real? What's up, Key?
What's happening, man? You got enough jerseys in that background. I like
good,
it.
Man.
Look at that.
Yeah, I'm missing two, though. I'm missing two, and them two dudes on this call, so I'm missing them.
Oh man, I retired a long time ago.
Donald,
I don't have no more.
When you heard Aaron Rodgers, we've been talking about it today earlier, say that the Packers' style of play in terms of winning to win is not sustainable. What do you think?
This is my biggest piece of it is that they have an opportunity to take this to the next level, right? And I think it's just got to figure out what's the home base right now. They don't know what they're missing. Everyone wants to talk about the receiver group, but those guys played awesome last week. They proved that they can step up and make plays that they need to make. And so they're missing one piece of the puzzle, and that was Devontae. But at the end of the day, these young guys got to step up. So it's just getting everybody used to who Aaron Rodgers is. Once you get that piece of it and you get to know him well, you can understand the way he plays his game.
What have you seen so far with Aaron and these young receivers as a leader? Has he grabbed them? And you once was a young receiver as well. Have you seen him grab them and bring them along, or is it tough love?
Well, I think it's tough love, right? I think it's one of those things that you got to buy into his system, not he got to buy into your system. And so these young guys are still, they're still trying to understand the game. And once they understand the game, then I think they'll figure out that they have to continue to make plays. Because once you start making plays for him, he trusts you. Lazar has proven that. That's why he trusts him. When the game is on the line, you see who he goes to. He goes to his bread and butter, the old veteran, and Randall Cobb. So it's just a great opportunity for those guys. So Watson and Dobbs, they just got to step up and make the plays that they need to make.
Donald Driver, former Packers wide receiver and Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. D, we have Mike Tannenbaum who obviously has been in the management position for a long time in his career, with us this morning. And he said one of his gripes about Aaron Rodgers essentially was that he wasn't there in the offseason to work with the young wide receivers so they could, you know, hit the ground running when the season started and kind of build that relationship and build that rapport. How would you react to something like that if you heard that from somebody in the front office say that about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I'll say this is that, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand is that Aaron has this thing about him that is very consistent, right? He knows that he can play this game and he wants everyone to play like him. And so for him not being there, I think it just kind of shows that the relationship that he's trying to build, he didn't have with those guys, right? And so he wasn't sure if he was coming back or he's going to continue to play. And so I think now he knows that he was coming back. Those guys just got to feel it takes a long time to process that and get that rhythm down. And it showed this offseason. I mean, it's showing this season right now by not being able to have him there this offseason.
Hey, Donald, when you look at the NFL and the landscape of what's going on with receivers and pushing the ball downfield, obviously the numbers are up 17 games. And you look at the Rams last night, are they too reliant on Cooper Kupp and getting him the football and forgetting about everybody else in that receiving corps?
Well, I think you can't be one dimension. You know, Key, I think that's the piece of the puzzle that this game is completely revolved into, right? It's so many weapons out there now compared to when me and you play, right? It's like you want to get it to your guy all the time. And, you know, sooner or later, they're going to realize how to stop Kupp. And when they stop him, then the game becomes harder, right? And so he's not going to always have those 11 catches, those 10 catches games. He may have sometimes three. That means the young guys have to be able to step up and fill his shoes.
Donald, what do you think about the young guys? We were talking about Dobbs, who Key is very high on, and Christian Watson, who Key is not as high on, even though I look at Christian, you know, I don't have the same kind of eyeball test, but Christian Watson is tall, fast, like seems to have a lot of stuff. What do you think of these young receivers?
They're you know, I think it's one of those things, man. It's great talent around it, but they got to understand how to play this game. And every opportunity that you get, you have to make the best of it. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, I mean, you think about Watson, that first game of the year, right? Aaron throws him a deep ball. He catches that ball. Aaron has trust in him. And so one of those things is Aaron lost trust in that. And that's how the reason why they lost that game, because he wasn't going back to those guys. He was going to guys that he trusted. And so these guys got to make the plays that they need to make sure that Aaron trusts them week in and week out.
Donald, we had Tua earlier this week, obviously, you know, suffer a concussion and it's been sitting out now going through concussion protocol. It just brings to mind, what is your stance on if a player has a concussed like symptom throughout the course of a game, should the NFL keep him out of that game moving forward? Or like, how did you guys deal with it when you played?
Well, again, right. We're old school, man. We get the smell of salt. We go back and play the game. And so now the game is completely revolved around the health and wellness of these players. And so when you see that happen, especially from the last week again, when that happened to us, that at that point, they should have realized they shouldn't have brought in the game. But sometimes you're trying to win, and sometimes the players are trying to get back on the field to win. And so that's the competitive side of them. But then you see the outcome the following week where now he's out completely. And so, you know, I think it's got to be the organization either step up and make that decision to protect the player from longevity. We're not talking about just winning the game. I mean, that's the key. Everybody wants to win, but at the end of the day, it's about health and wellness for the rest of his life. And so the organization has to make that choice. If not, the league has to step in.
They gave us smelling sauce, Don. I don't remember. Did they do that? Did they actually give us smelling sauce to get back in the game?
He got hit
they
hard. You don't even remember the smelling sauce.
Come on, man. Hey, man, wake up, man. You know we do that, man. Wake up.
No, I know that they figured out a way for us to get on the field and continue to play. How far, honestly, can the Green Bay Packers go?
They can go as far as they want to go. I think that's one of the keys that we look at week in and week out, is that these guys can go wherever they want to go. They still have a tough schedule down the line. Some of these teams right now are not top teams. But, you know, if you don't play your best game week in and week out, you're going to lose. And so they have an opportunity to get back to the postseason. That's every single year for the Packers, especially with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Guys around him just got to buy into the system.
Donald Driver, former Green Bay Packers Super Bowl champion, joins us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and of course, we can't leave out Brett Max. Max joins
Brother
us too.
Max.
Don, when you look at quarterbacks around the league, right? Let's take, for instance, the Dallas Cowboys in Cooper Rush. He's on a nice little 3-0 roll. There's a big pocket guy in Dak Prescott waiting to get back in. As a receiver, though, if Cooper Rush continued to just keep plucking these wins along, how would you feel if they didn't go back to Dak Prescott and stayed with Cooper Rush?
Well, that's not my decision to make, right? I think I don't have to make that decision. I think the organization has to make that one. But I think one of the things is that he's playing well. Rush is playing lights out right now. I think he has nothing to lose. This is a great opportunity for him. And one thing he has to remember is now he's not auditioning for the Cowboys. He's auditioning for the other 31 teams out there that may need a quarterback after this season's over. So if he continues to play well, sky's the limit for what this guy can be able to do. But we already know that is the guy, and they're going to make that known when he comes back.
That is Donald Driver, former Packers wide receiver, and, of course, Super Bowl champion. All right, tell us what you are doing with Nerf. This was the highlight of my football career. Nerf!
Well, it's awesome. Hasbro and I are here to announce it's Nerf Brand's first official sports game, and it's going to be called Nerf Ball. We all grew up since 1969. That's when the world was introduced to the first original Nerf Ball, right? And now we have a mascot. And you think about it, what was next? And so 50 years later, we bring this thing full circle to where it's the most cutting edge competitive sports game out there, Nerf Ball. And so a lot of people have been asking the question, what is this game all about? Well, it's exciting because you get the opportunity to do paintball, airsoft, the speed and agility of basketball, and the penalty of hockey. And so the game was basically built around athletes, for athletes. And so we're excited about what's the next big move.
I'd watch Nerf Ball.
I'd watch that.
That sounds good.
I like the way that sounds.
Yeah, as soon as someone sees a Nerf Ball, they get happy. Man. Yeah, all right. There he is, Donald Driver, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Donald. Appreciate it.
All right, D.
All right, Don.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you guys so much. Hey, listen, if fans out there, you guys want to know what's going on with more than Nerf Ball, go to HasbroPlus.com/Nerf Ball. Get opportunity to know what's going on right
That's
there.
That's HasbroPlus/
Correct.
Nerf Ball.
Pulse. HasbroPulse.com/Nerf Ball.
Got it. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it, man.
Okay.
Have a good one, man.
Is the NFC East the best division in the NFL? I can't make the NFC least joke anymore.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So,
San Francisco.
You know what I really... Was it Yates who brought this up before we were talking to Donald Driver, when, because he was, you know, promoting Nerf? What was it, you, Yates, who said, why does a Nerf ball, every Nerf ball you've ever seen, have a bite in it?
They all got that bite, dog.
That's because of the dog. The dog.
Yeah, but no, but even a house that doesn't have a dog, if you have kids, the kid bites. Listen, the Nerf ball, it's like Play-Doh. To a kid, it's appetizing for whatever reason, right? Yeah. You want to bite it, that little texture, that little tasty cake texture.
Think about it, Max. You go into gym class, you ready, oh, my God, we about to go have some fun in gym class. They pull the balls out, and one of them joints got bite marks in it.
Bite marks. No dog to be found.
Remember, they're bringing them home. They're bringing the Nerf balls from home. That's all it is. But here's what I would
say. You ever bite a Nerf ball as a kid?
No, I didn't. No. We probably couldn't afford Nerf balls at the time. You know?
That's right.
We would get old tennis balls.
You get old, bitten up Nerf balls.
You got to take them from gym class. You know what I mean?
But here's what it is. The San Francisco 49ers certainly took a bite out of the Rams. See how I did that?
We don't need to make a hard pivot to sports. This is extra content. Extra content. We could talk whatever we want.
No, we were just talking about the Rams 49ers game from last night and how the Rams offense is just, I don't know what it is. It's not good. That's what
it
is.
No O-line, man. No O-line.
Yeah, but that's cool. No O-line. He got sacked 7 times. He also got pressured 17 times, but at the end of the day, they got to get the football to some other people other than Cooper Kupp.
So then, Keith,
you can't target one guy 20 times.
That's the question. Why wouldn't Sean McVay, right out of the gate, design some plays to get Allen Robinson going? If you know that Cooper Kupp is going to get targeted more than any other wideout on your team, get other people touches early so you can spread out the offense.
I don't know, Jay. That's a good question by you, because I have no idea. You paid a guy the type of money that you paid him for him to be a cardboard cutout. And that is probably because Sean is used to Cooper Kupp. But Cooper Kupp is a good player. But as you can see, once they sniff you out, pick six going the other way.
Yeah, you got to diversify
way.
A little bit.
You but, have I mean, to diversify.
I think, look, Odell Beckham Jr., everyone said, oh, he's actually going to be third on the depth chart at receiver. It's not going to be what you think. But guess what? When he got there, he won third. And it was just what you thought. And he was going to be Super Bowl MVP, it looked like, until he got hurt, right? I like Robinson. He's a good player. He's not Odell.
I mean,
there's a difference.
Van Jefferson coming back later in time could help out.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean.
He's not quite Odell.
Yeah,
right.
But
he ain't no cardboard cutout either.
Yeah,
no, he's
right
good.
That. I mean, I guess the question is, OBJ, do you go back to L.A.?
To me, if I'm Odell, not only am I going back to the Rams, if I'm the Rams, I need to get him back. Yeah,
I need you.
He should stay in L.A. and get some kale.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live. Everywhere you are, download the ESPN app, tap the More tab on the bottom right, scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Do you feel better now, Max?
Listen,
Mr. Kellerman.
He has a serious problem with how we presented the information.
I disagree.
No, he doesn't.
With the way we set up that. Let me tell you why. When we put the Super Bowl odds by your list, Key, it was unclear. Squirrel.
Yes.
It was unclear if what you were listing there for was the teams that you thought had the best chance to win the Super Bowl and then comparing it to the odds makers, but that's not what you were doing. You were simply listing the best teams through week 4, and then on that's the side, and here are the Super Bowl odds according to Vegas. See what I
mean? Yes, that's what I said.
But if I'm listening to that segment, I'm thinking, wait, is this what Key thinks are the teams?
No, if I say Super Bowl odds according to Caesars in Vegas, Keyshawn Johnson's not Vegas and he's not Caesars.
You know what Jay just did, right, Key? He wants to see if he can get me to chase the squirrel.
You chased it already at the top.
I already chased it. I will chase the squirrel. That's how it goes. So, Key, your real rankings, these are the best
teams.
Sure
you don't want to dig into it a little bit more, Max? Do you want to kind of hash it out?
Now that you mention it, I wouldn't mind. So, here's Key's real rankings. Best teams in the NFL. And then separately, just so you know, here are the odds that Vegas thinks they have to win the whole thing this year. Go ahead, Key.
Well, 9 of the Giants plus 8,000. 8 is Cincinnati Bengals, plus 2,200. Baltimore, 7. That's the Ravens, plus 1,500. San Francisco, 49ers, plus 1,800. Dallas Cowboys, 5 at plus 2,500. Green Bay Packers, plus 1,000 at 4. Buffalo, plus 400 at 3. Kansas City Chiefs, plus 700 at 2. And the Philadelphia Eagles, who's red hot right now, plus 750. And they're the number one team in my real rankings. I have nothing to do with the odds. I'm simply showing and sharing what Caesars thinks from a betting standpoint, what the odds are. I'm ranking week to week what I think my top 10, 8, 7, 6 teams may be. Next week, I may only have 5 teams because the other teams all look so bad, I don't want to list another 4.
Key, I know you got them at number 5, but I like those odds if the Cowboys do what you suggest about keeping the same playbook that they're utilizing for Cooper Rush, that Dak Prescott utilized that. But plus 2,500 for the boys, man, that's a pretty good odds. I like that.
Yeah, most times when players come back that's been on a long vacation from their position and a team is having success, coaches tend to kind of look at, okay, we're having success with this type of formula, but we got a better player handling it now, but we love the formula. Let's put these two guys together. Let's not go back to the old formula that we used to deal with Dak Prescott because we wasn't winning that way.
How would you describe the difference in the formula? What was so much different about what they were doing with Dak, Key?
I think they first of all, they asked Dak to throw the football a lot more. They asked him to kind of carry the offense. At this time, the defense wasn't playing nearly as well as it is right now. They were playing really good, but not nearly as well a year ago. And now, all of a sudden, you got a top five defense in the NFL, which could potentially win you a Super Bowl. And here I go again. I need you to be 19-24. I need you to be 235 yards. I need you to have a touchdown in the air and one on the ground. And that's it. And no turnovers.
And no turnovers.
And no turnovers. Turnovers.
No turnovers.
Take care of the
turnovers.
Ball.
Turnovers will get you killed. KILT.
Control the clock with your run game. Utilize it. Pound the ground, and then have your defense.
Man, think about this. Look at this here. I got this. Just I had it in my brain, and I just happened to write it down a little bit. So Cooper Rush was 15-27 for 233, 2 touchdowns. Ryan Tannehill 17-21, a buck and some change, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Jalen Hurts 16-25, 200. He had the bounce off pick, whatever, in the rain, but they still wind up managing get over that. The Bills, Josh Allen was 19-36 for 213. They win. Carr was 21-34, bucking some change, no turnovers. They win. Geno Smith 320, 2 touchdowns,
and
zero
anyway.
Turnovers.
Even with they the 330 win. Yards, they won.
They won. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo, but no turnovers. Right. Jimmy Garoppolo, 16-27, a touchdown, zero turnovers. They won.
Hey, Key.
I like that.
Key.
That's the formula I like.
You have of your top 9, and the way I like the way you do your tiers, it is a superior way to then just having arbitrary 10 teams. Key does it until he feels.
And people are mad at me,
off.
According to Jay on social media.
According to me, I think it was
James. Or James. James said it.
He does
James.
The list
yeah.
until
One
he
us,
feels there's
the
a qualitative
yeah.
fall off. And then he's like, I'm going to cut it off right here. I think that's the better way to do it. So
yeah, because when I look at the teams after 9.
It's not. It's like, yeah, whatever.
I can put Tampa
Key,
Bay in there.
Hold on,
Tampa lost 2 games in a row.
Before we get out of here, Key, I want to know. You have 3 of the top teams in your top 9 in the entire league are from the NFC East. Is that the best division in football?
Right now, based on the record, it is, right? What division has a better record? Isn't that what we go off of on this television show? Don't we go off records and stats and stuff?
I know you got the Giants at 9, but I mean, even though they lost twice, shouldn't the
no,
Bucks
they didn't
be
lose
there?
Twice. They lost once.
No, I was talking about the Bucks. Shouldn't the Bucks be there? Wouldn't you have the Bucks at 9?
Right. They're going to be there next week when they get fully healthy.
Okay, yeah.
And what about right? The Giants?
And I'm doing y'all a favor. I got the Giants in there. Yeah, they're 3-1.
You did that for
friends.
How
could you be mad at it? A slice of pizza, huh?
I'm happy about it. You're right.
Key, what about all these people like you who put all the yeast on the AFC West? When I try to tell you, stay calm.
They know you. You was the one put all the yeast on the AFC West.
Never mind who did it. Stop pointing fingers. It's not important who did it. We're a team, damn it. The point is, what about the AFC West? Are they overrated? Like, how overrated?
Absolutely overrated. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers are slightly underneath.
Injured, though.
They're injured. Okay, they're missing a left tackle. They're missing a left tackle and a receiver that's coming back.
And a pass rush.
And Mike Williams been balling.
Yeah,
and Bosa just got hurt.
Yeah, well, that's just
Bosa
got hurt.
And Keenan quarterback's Allen, hurt. Slater, and Herbert.
Okay, hold on. Hurts done played in every – I mean, Justin Herbert done played in every single game. He ain't missed a game.
Come on, man. He played
in every single game.
I hear you, but let's not call them overrated.
Slater left because he got hurt. Bosa just got hurt. Mm-hmm. Okay, Keenan Allen is coming back. He's coming back. That's why I say that. That's a good. They're okay. They're right there. But don't act like that. They just lose everybody. This isn't the New Orleans Saints
you,
for
Jay.
Crying
don't
out loud.
Hype
what are you
up
doing?
Teams until you know for sure.
We're a team. We all
season.
Hyped up the AFC West. That's
no, not no. We all ain't
season.
No. We all y'all.
No, kid, you jumped on board
no,
too.
Ain't no,
you
me.
Talked about it every
I,
single
first thing
day
I said
summer.
Is Russell Wilson isn't good. You frowned at me and went over to London
no,
with Russell Wilson
he
and
just
got mad at me.
Monarchs,
to see the
yes,
team.
Wait, no. Russell Wilson, you got to give him time. To, grieving period's not
stuff
over
going
yet.
On in Denver.
He's still
it's
in
fine.
Denial about things.
You went over there and played golf with Russell Wilson.
He needs to consider the coronation of the new king. He'll feel better.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.